A few years ago, we had a beautiful nativity scene just outside the churchyard. But we had one little problem. Someone stole baby Jesus. I remember going to look at the manger. There Jesus was gone. And I thought that was too cute. But as we prepared for Christmas, I often wonder if we have allowed the Savior to be stolen from our celebrations. For example, in the attempt to be politically correct, Merry Christmas has been replaced by Happy Holidays. Have you ever noticed that the question, "Are you ready for Christmas?" is often code for, "Are you done shopping?" It's become easy to walk right past the manger with our eyes set on the gifts. But for us who love God, Christmas is an awesome time of the year. A time when we celebrate the birth of our Lord Jesus. And when we declare with the hymn writer, "Joy to the world, the Lord is come." Amen? Amen. And we don't swallow our words like we all shy. No. Christmas, friends, is a time when we celebrate God's peace. Christmas, just the very word, brings joy to our hearts. It's a classic true story of with the right ingredients. Words like love and joy and peace and goodwill are familiar with those who know the Christmas story. And in Luke 2, verse 14, the angel said, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." With these words, a multitude of heavenly hosts, of angels, praise God for a time of a miraculous birth of Jesus. And that stuff rings true today, friends. The meaning of Christmas is about God loving us. God loving us. And it's about God giving the most amazing and spectacular gift to reconcile the world to himself. One of our favorite Christmas carols, and you sang it so lovely today, "Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her king. Let every heart prepare him room, and heaven and nature sing." This is one of the most joyous and loved Christmas carols, friends, because it makes so real what Christ's birth means to us. The Bible says in Romans 5, verse 1, "Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Christmas is indeed a time, friends, to celebrate God's peace. Secondly, Christmas is a time when we celebrate God's love. Historically, Christmas commemorates the birth of Jesus Christ. But theologically, Christmas is a celebration of the incarnation of God in human form to reconcile humanity to God. The heart of Christmas, friends, is God showing the great love he has for you and I, for humanity. The whole superstructure of Christianity rests on the reality of Christmas. We would not have Christianity if we did not have the birth of Jesus. Do you agree? The word incarnation is a big word which literally means the act of assuming flesh, whereby the Son of God voluntarily assumed a human body and nature. Reverend Don Skinner put it this way: God did not send Christ to us. God came to us in Christ. God didn't say, hey, boy, go, go. No, no. He came to us in Christ. A theologian described the incarnation with these words: God must be able to come over to our side without leaving his own side. An astronaut, I was reading about him last night, James Irwin. He traveled to the moon on Apollo 15. He is the 8th person to walk on the moon. He experienced things that you and I never will. And yet he never got over the crux of Christmas when he said, there's something more important than man walking on the moon, and that is God walking on the earth. Max Lucado captures this indescribable incarnation in his book, God Came Near, when he wrote this. I shared it with Helen yesterday. It's a tremendous extract from his book. He said, that particular moment was like none other. For through that segment of time, a spectacular thing occurred. God became a man. While the creatures on earth walked unaware, divinity arrived. Heaven opened herself up and placed her most precious one in a human womb. The omnipotent, in one instant, made himself breakable. He who had been a spirit now was pierceable. He who was larger than the universe became an embryo. And he who sustains the world with a word chose to be dependent upon the nourishment of a young girl. God as a fetus, holiness sleeping in a womb, the creator of life being created. God was given eyebrows, elbows, 2 kidneys and a spleen. He stretched against the walls and floated in the amniotic fluids of his mother. God came near. Isn't that marvelous? The most famous statement in the Bible, friends, is John's explanation of why God sent Jesus to earth. John 3, verse 16. For God loved the world so much. Listen, why did God send Jesus to earth? Got it. For God loved the world so much that he gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. We learn this from the angel's opening statements to the shepherds of Bethlehem in Luke 2:10. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. The good news of Christmas is worth celebrating for 3 reasons. It is personal news. I bring you. It is positive news. Good news of great joy. It is universal news for all the people. It doesn't matter who you are, what you've done, where you've been, where you're going. This news is for you. And it's good news, friends. God loves you. Amen. 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 Well, I don't know. Well, I told you now. God loves you. Romans 5 verse 8 says, and then he demonstrated it. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Isn't that the best news you've ever heard, friends? Come on now. Thirdly, Christmas is a time when we acknowledge God's presence. God loves you. Not only God loves you, but God is with you and God is for you. So his birth brought great joy to the world. And that is God's presence with us. You know, the angel of the Lord announced that you will call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. Shepherds and wise men and angels all shared in the excitement of knowing about this great event. They knew this was not an ordinary baby. The prophets had told of his coming hundreds of years before. We've been reading Isaiah, and we know from study that Isaiah was written 700 years before Jesus was born. The angel Gabriel announced his arrival. The angelic host sang a beautiful song for him. The brightest star marked his presence. The wise men came to worship him. The shepherds came to honor him. The priest knew the scripture he was coming. But let me tell you, Jerusalem and King Herod, they were doing this, man. They were troubled at his coming. Jesus' birth, friends, was the incarnation of God on earth, opening the door of new hope and eternal life. His mission was to save. His mission was to redeem the earth and save mankind from their sins. That was Jesus' purpose. He didn't say, I'm going there so I can walk along the beach. No. His purpose, why he left the splendor of heaven to be born in a shack, in a stable, was that he came to save us from our sins, friends. That was his purpose. His coming into the world was not the beginning of Jesus. Let me say that quickly. John says in John 1 verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was the Word in the beginning, Jesus was. He came from eternity. He always was and is the eternal God. He temporarily laid aside his glory and took on a body through the Virgin Mary to live in this body long enough to die for the sins of the world, to finish the work of redemption. He was only 33 years old. Christmas is indeed a time when we acknowledge God's presence. Fourthly, Christmas is a time to accept. Listen, friends, this is very important, that we accept God's salvation. We accept God's salvation. Luke 2:11 says, and the angel said to the shepherds, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. You know what saviors do? They save. Isn't that true? Unto you is born in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Matthew 1:21 says, and you shall call his name Jesus. First it says, and she will bring forth a son, and you will call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. At Christmas, We've got to receive the gift of salvation, friends, through Jesus Christ. What a message from heaven to a world that is weary of life and sick with sin. Unto us, unto you, unto me, is born a Savior. Is born a Savior. Whoever you are, whatever are your sins, there is salvation for you. The Bible says that we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We do things that do not please God. We are born with a sinful nature. We need to have that removed. And the only way is through Jesus. Amen. Jesus is the center of Christmas. And he is the reason for the season. C.S. Lewis said, "The Son of God became a man that men might become the sons of God." Now that is the true meaning of Christmas and something worth celebrating. Jesus came so that he could die on the cross for all of our sins. There's nothing that you've done or thought or said that is so bad that it cannot be forgiven. Friends, Jesus is waiting. Guys, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Confess your sins. That's what 1 John 1 verse 9 says. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We can know that heaven is a place we will go to, friends, when life is over. At the hospital, I was talking to a fellow yesterday, and made him understand that when he closes his eyes here, if you have your faith in Jesus Christ, if you trust him as your Savior, you will open your eyes in eternity. And friends, this is what it is. Because Jesus came at Christmas, he came for the purpose of paying for my sin and for your sin. And so when we put our faith and trust in him and we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, all wrong living. Christmas is indeed a time where we accept God's gift of salvation. Fifthly, lastly, Christmas is a time to express our gratitude for God's grace. Titus 2 verse 11 says, "For the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people." Does that include me? How about you? Does the grace of God that has appeared offer salvation to you too? Yes. It's not on the screen, but we memorized it when we were small. Ephesians 2 verse 8, "For by grace you have been saved through faith." You understand that, friends? Through faith. Christmas is a time to appreciate what God has done for us in Christ. Time for thanksgiving and remembering God's grace, kindness, love, mercy, and goodness. In 2 Corinthians 9 verse 15, Paul, he was just out of words, man. "Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift." He words failed him, man, to describe the awesomeness of Jesus. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. When our hopes crash, when our dreams fail, Christmas is designed to revive us, to give us our second wind, and to bring happiness and glory, glorious hope to us. With Christ in our hearts, with Jesus in our lives, friends, then light begins to shine where darkness was before. Ignorance gives place to the beginning of wisdom. Impurity is replaced by purity. Hatred ends and love begins to blossom. That's because of Jesus. Christmas began in the heart of God. It is only complete when it reaches the heart of man. Christmas time is indeed a time to express our gratitude for God's grace. In conclusion, in our upside down world, don't let anything or anyone, listen, I say that again. Don't let anything or anyone steal Christ from your Christmas. Some say, you know, Christmas is about that party I'm going to go to and that one. Whoa. Don't let anything steal Christmas from you. Christmas is real. His story. But it must become your story. Let me say it fast. Christmas is real history, but it must become your story. Luke chapter 2, verse 11. That's the last scripture for today. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. Amen. Let me end quickly with three quick questions. Is he Savior to you? Is he Christ to you? Is he Lord to you? I pray that the Holy Spirit will wake you up this morning, in the evening, to remind you of these three questions, and that you will do some introspection and say, Lord, you are Savior to me. You are Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One to me. You are Lord to me. I love what Corrie ten Boom once said. If Jesus were born 1,000 times in Bethlehem and not in me, then I will still be lost. It's time today to make sure that Jesus is born in you, friends. You can do that right now by praying quietly in your heart after me, saying this in your heart after me. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me even when I feel unlovable. I don't understand how you can accept me when I don't measure up. I confess that I am a sinner and I want to turn from the way I've been living. I need you to be my Savior. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. I desire to live under your Lordship for the rest of my life. Thank you for not only being born, but for dying in my place and rising again so that I can be born again. I now receive the gift of salvation and forgiveness by asking you to come into my life. Make me into the person you want me to be. Enable me to adore you for the rest of my life. Amen. Amen. Could someone get Sharon, please? We're going to close with a Christmas carol, friends. And I want to encourage you to stay. I know you've got a busy time now, but stay and have some food and let's drink coffee and stuff. And besides, it's cold outside. Amen.